Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Let's access the mouth and brains of David Slack. Hello.
Morning, Mikey. I never thought I'd live there so long to hear Mikey Havoc say that I was more important than the Chemical Brothers.
I didn't say that.
You implied it.
No, I said that we do have that response. I suppose it's the new parent in me, responsibilities. Responsibilities. You wrote a column last weekend that basically, you know, speaking a point of view column. As the voter walking up to the polling booth, to the ballot box, and running the options through your head, and it's a scatterbrained affair, isn't it? This election, who knows what's going to happen. It really highlights the many, many twists and turns that this election could take. And I'm just wondering how many satisfied people there'll be at the end of it.
Yeah, and that's part of what I was starting out from in the column by saying, you know, not many people turn out to vote these days because there's a kind of an apathy that's taken hold because, in part, I think, because people look at it in the way you've just described and think, what the hell will this mean? You know, what difference can it make? I'm just not sure who listens to me. I'm not sure that's right, but it's certainly how it feels.
But yeah,
you can't blame people for feeling that way.
There's that chemical reaction that we have when we smug and satisfied and delighted with stuff and feel like we've been a part of something, you know? And it's a hard one. This is a hard one to feel like you're on any in cahoots with any of them.
Yeah, I know that's what 30 years of the free market will do, arguably. Leaves you feeling like you aren't a part of something, and it's all just a sharp, elbowed world, and nobody's looking out for you. And it doesn't have to be that way, and it doesn't necessarily mean that.
No, you do. You may want to cheer up a wee bit, you know.
Okay. You've actually got some interesting ideas on offer. Not the least of them being from Gareth Morgan, who's very best to make some good arguments, but still having his disputatious personality get in the way. And it's quite the marketing campaigning challenge. But if you do look past that and look at what he's saying, there's some really sound thinking about, for example, dealing with the arrangement that got us into this ridiculous mess where young people can't afford a house, can't imagine they ever will be able to afford a house. And that's all because our economy has got so distorted that people have been far more fixated on borrowing ridiculous amounts of money to buy a house and then coasting upwards on a market that never stops rising because they believe it will never stop rising and they borrow that way. And what he's proposing is a capital tax arrangement that's really intelligent that might, in the long run, not tomorrow, but in the long run, level that out and stop people being so destructive in where they put their money.
The housing thing has got to an extent where I know of a school in Auckland that is purchasing homes. The school's buying homes to offer teachers because there's such a teacher shortage,
yeah, right.
And basically that's part of the package. You know, this the school
and
no matter how long the teacher stays, the school retains the property in the home because they need it because they've got to be able to get the people to come to work.
And that's actually a bloody good model for how you.
It's a good idea, isn't it?
Oh, it is, because what we've got here is value in the values now assigned to houses that are vastly out of kilter with what people actually earn. They never were worth that much. The only reason they became worth that much is because the banks whispered in everybody's ear, if you want to pretend it's worth another 100,000, we'll give you another 100,000. And so off we go on this dopey delusion. Well, if you step out of the market altogether and say, right, somebody in the model you're just describing, a school, but it could just also be the government. If the government buys a whole lot of property and says, we're not going to look for a return on this, we're just going to make it available to people at a rent they can afford or a price they can afford to buy, and we're going to make the market sort itself out. And tough luck, all of you people who pretended these things were worth twice and three and four times as much as they are. We're going to bring sanity back into this. And if you did that, you'd create opportunities for a whole new generation. And I'd dearly love to see one of the political parties try that on, because one of them did 80 years ago. That was the Labor Party. That's essentially what they did with the housing policy in the 30s. You can do it again.
One thing that we've seen, I think, in the build-up to the election is National doing nothing bold at all.
Oh, shit, yeah. Yeah. These people... I had an interesting conversation yesterday morning with
these people.
Freshly out of university, and she was saying what I hear quite a few young people saying, which is, oh, yes, but they're good economic managers. And I said, no, they're bloody not. What they've done over these last few years is coast on the benefit of immigrants arriving, which has an economic effect, a positive economic effect. It gives you economic growth. But you actually have to spend on infrastructure to accommodate those people, and they haven't. So they're taking a free hit, making it appear that we're getting economic growth, when in fact they're importing a postponed problem. Apart from that, they're not doing nearly enough to diversify the economy, and they're not doing nearly enough to solve that glaring housing problem we just talked about. And if that makes the Bill English a competent economic management, I am, as the old saying goes, a Dutchman.
At least you're not a benefit fraudster.
Yeah, geez, you know.
Isn't it funny watching that all play out? I caught a wee bit of backbenchers last night, and there was yelling and screaming and finger pointing.
Yeah,
and,
And I didn't watch it, and I know I would have got it rated if I did, partly because I see Christopher was on it, and he really pisses me off. But more to the point, the crucial point that Materia Ture was making was, in the priorities in my life, my first one was making sure I had enough money to feed my kid. Now, if in the course of needing to do that, I might lie, or I might not disclose something, I was prepared to do it. And the point she was making was, she's a lawyer, she was training as a lawyer, she recognises the rule of law, she doesn't want to break the law, but she could see that in the priorities she had, she had to break the law, or bend the law, depends how you want to look at it, in order to meet the principal priority, which is make sure she can feed her child. Now, who the hell wouldn't put their child first? What we've got as a problem, and what she was demonstrating as a problem, is the welfare system isn't good enough to take care of people who are in that position. And if we've got to fix that, not go after people who are deemed to be lawbreakers because they've put their child first. Now, some people are saying, oh, this is law-breaking, and they should throw the book at her. And
I'm sorry, the Cameron Slater auditions are closed for today, everybody.
and I look at those people and I think, you know, where's your soul?
People, yeah, but people don't. If people who have paid, I've had a bit of experience with that myself. When had some parking fines, You know, they were just parking fines. But man, you should have seen how people got wound up about that.
I remember. Yeah.
You know, like I tried to shoot the Prime Minister or something. Calm down. Paid them. It's done. Shush. And yeah. Until you walk in someone's shoes, you really don't have you're in no position to judge. Apart from we are the where we are in history at the moment is that people who judgmental people have got the more voice than ever.
No, they do. But your starting point's got to be what's more important than feeding your kid. And if you can't answer, and if you say something else is more important than that, then good luck to you. You know, the point Materia Ture is making is, we've got to have a system that makes it possible for people who are trying to bring up a kid on their own to live a sustainable, viable life. And why wouldn't you wish that for the kids of the country?
Really quickly, do you think it's going to benefit or hinder their election result?
I think it'll help them. I think if you look at the number of people who've been standing up and saying, look, I've been in these shoes too, we've been pretending things are better than they are, and they're not. I think this could be beneficial for them.
Hey, thanks very much, David. David Slack with a bit of commentary there. Thank you very much. Have a great day. See you soon. Bye-bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.